I'm Hamish Johnston, and I'm at the National Physical Laboratory near London, where in 1955 the British physicist Louis Essen unveiled the world's first atomic clock. Essen's clock was based on a beam of cesium atoms and was monitored by microwave technology, inspired by his wartime work on radar. It was more accurate than existing mechanical or electronic clocks and would be off by just 1 second after running for 300 years. In 1967, the second was redefined in terms of Essen's clock, and today, international and national time is still based on the cesium atom. Here at the National Physical Laboratory, or NPL, I will meet two of the UK's atomic timekeepers, and I'll discover what physicists have planned for the next generation of high-performance clocks. First, let's hear from NPL's Helen Margolis about how an atomic clock works.
Well, an atomic clock is really based on the idea that atoms can only absorb frequencies corresponding to the energy difference between two specific levels. So, for example, in a cesium atomic clock, a cesium atom can only absorb frequency at around 9.2 gigahertz corresponding to the energy gap between two levels. And the idea is that you use that very specific frequency to count how many oscillations appear in certain period of time, and that provides your definition of time.
Today's best cesium fountain clocks have an uncertainty of about 2 times 10 to the minus 16. This means that such a clock could run for about 140 million years before its timekeeping was off by just 1 second. But physicists know they can do much better than this and could, in principle, create clocks that remain accurate to within a second for longer than the current age of the universe, over 13 billion years. NPL's Patrick Gill explains how these improvements could be made.
Well, the cesium standard has been going for some 60 years or so it has been very enduring. But it has become reasonably clear that we could use standards that were based on optical transitions as opposed to using microwave transitions, as is the case with cesium.
This next generation of clocks are often referred to as optical clocks rather than atomic clocks, even though they also make use of atomic transitions. Helen Margolis explains the distinction.
Whereas the cesium atomic clock is based on absorption of microwave frequencies by the cesium atoms, an optical clock is based on absorption of laser radiation by atoms or ions. And the idea here is that because optical frequencies are about 100,000 times higher than microwave frequencies, they divide time up into smaller pieces, and so that essentially gives you better resolution in your measurement of time.
Patrick Gill describes the three main options for next-generation timekeeping.
The choices generally revolve around what you choose for the atomic reference, and there are about three possibilities. The first involves using a single ion, a single charged particle, and probing an optical absorption in that particle. And the idea there is that the particle is well isolated from its environment, and therefore not limited by significant perturbations. The second approach involves using a number of atoms, quite a few atoms, which are trapped within a light field. If you're careful about the way you trap them in that light field, you can get rid of the perturbing influence of the light. And the plus for that system is that you have lots of atoms, and therefore your frequency stability is better than if you have a single ion. Then thirdly, there is a possibility to use a combination of two ions of different species. This is the quantum logic clock, and what you're doing there is separating the functionality of cooling the system down from probing the clock ion, and you use the combination of the two to give you your clock.
In order to decide which type of optical clock is best, researchers must have ways of comparing different clocks to each other.
We could just rest on our laurels and we could measure our optical clock candidate relative to our cesium fountain, and we could work out how well we think it's performing absolutely, and we can also compare two of these optical clocks together, and we can determine the uncertainty that that we think is associated with those optical clocks. And then somebody in another laboratory can do the same thing, and we can write down our answers on a piece of paper and we can compare the data. But there is nothing quite so important as actually being able to show that our clock performs as we expect in comparison with their clock. And of course, you can't always just get everything you need from two clocks. You may need to have three-cornered hat type experiments where you can determine which is the best clock in terms of its performance.
However, it is very difficult to compare clocks separated by large distances, and a frequency comb is an essential tool for doing this.
You can think about a frequency comb as being a bit like a ruler, but for measuring optical frequencies. So it's actually based on a pulsed laser system, and the spacing of the frequency teeth in the comb that comes out of this laser is equal to the pulse repetition rate in the pulse train. And that acts very much just like an equally spaced comb of frequencies that you can measure other frequencies against. You use the comb to transfer the stability from the frequency of your clock laser to 1.5 micron laser, which you can actually transmit over the optical fibre network.
You do the reverse at the other end. From the fibre, you take the frequency at 1.5 and use a comb at that end to relate it to the other user's clock.
Although physicists around the world have been working very hard to develop new clock technologies, the decision has yet to be made which of these will replace cesium as the new time standard.
There's no immediate consensus at the present time as to whether we know what to choose, as to what the limitation in performance would be, and we do not have agreement amongst the international community as to whether to move forward to a decision at this time. We're still in measurement mode, in looking mode to see how good they are. And this could continue for some years.
As well as creating more accurate clocks, Patrick Gill and colleagues are also trying to develop practical devices that could be used in a range of commercial applications.
In the space arena, there's a lot of interest in whether you can actually fly these optical clocks in space missions or for future navigation systems. And there we're also looking at how well we can actually collapse the clock architecture to a point where it can survive launch and is small enough to put on a small satellite.
As well as the practical applications of a universal time standard and satellite communications, better atomic clocks will also be very useful to physicists doing fundamental research.
Well, I think the first use of better atomic clocks will always be in fundamental science. So, for example, we can, by comparing different types of clocks, we can test whether the fundamental constants of physics are constant in time. Another very interesting application of optical clocks would be to measure the Earth's gravity field with very high precision, because clocks in different gravity potentials change their frequency very slightly. And if you have a more accurate clock, you can sense that change in gravity.
Although it will be a few more years before physicists decide which new clock technology will replace the cesium standard, everything from satellite communications to fundamental science will continue to benefit from the development of better optical clocks.